read the book of Romans 9, 8th chapter. We're going to start reading the 35th verse. You'll stand with us, and we're going to read probably through the end of the chapter, it looks like, and we'll have prayer, and then we'll see what the Lord has in store tonight. Romans in the 8th chapter. If you got it, say amen.
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 All right, so Romans 8th chapter, starting the 35th verse, and it starts like this. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Kind, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, tonight for this opportunity to stand again, God, for giving us, Lord, this thought, Lord, tonight for this congregation, Lord. We know the things, Lord, that have gone on, Lord, over the last little bit. We know it's your will, Lord, tonight, this message we preach, and we thank you and praise you for it, God. God, we just pray that you open the hearts, Lord, and minds of those that are here tonight, God, they receive it, Lord, exactly what it's for. God, it would accomplish exactly what it's sent for, God. You said it would, and we believe it will. God, you be with those that have come this way, Lord. Be any lost, they hear it, understand it, receive it, and be saved. God, be any saved, Lord, they hear and understand it, move closer to you, God. That's what we all need. We all should desire, Lord, a closer walk with you. And God, we just thank you and we praise you for it. And God, just pray that you be with us, Lord. Just allow us tonight, God, to empty ourselves, Lord, of anything, Lord, that would be of this world tonight. Get it out of our thought process, Lord. Get it out of ourselves, Lord. God, just let us get out of ourselves, God, and just trust and have faith, Lord, in you, God, what you have tonight. Lord, just send a preacher to preach the gospel tonight, Lord, to come out exactly what you'd have it to be, God. And we thank you and praise you for it. We pray in your precious and holy name. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate you standing tonight for God's word. And we're thankful tonight for God's word. The thought that God put on our heart tonight, for tonight, was how persuaded are you tonight? Yeah. You know, we don't typically title our messages a little bit, but the thought we had tonight is how persuaded are you tonight? Paul, as we're reading there, it starts off, he starts off talking about, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The initial part of this is, are you aware tonight that God loves you tonight? It seems like such a simple question tonight, and everybody ought to know that God loves you tonight. But Paul, he was so persuaded about the love that Christ had for him. It wasn't, you know, there's a general love that God has for the world. The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a general love. That means he loves everybody. He loves you tonight. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to understand that love. But you know what? God loves you tonight. Boy, I tell you what, he loved the world. But isn't it nice to know tonight that he loves you? Boy, I tell you what, I couldn't believe how happy it made me the first time I really realized that God loved me. It wasn't just a general thing. It was a personal thing. He loved me for who I was or what I was. He loved my soul. He didn't love the sin that was in my flesh. He didn't love the things that I did. He didn't love how I lived my life. He didn't love all those kind of things. He didn't love the house that I lived in. He didn't love whether I had money or didn't have money. Well, glory to God. But he loved my soul. He said, well, glory to God. He said, when he made Adam and he formed mountains that dirt. He said he came down and he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. He put it there. It's his. He gave it. He'll take it away. He'll do with it as he sees fit. He said, well, God would never send one of his souls to hell. He loves them. And you know what, tonight, you're absolutely right. He wouldn't send it to hell, but you'll choose to go over, well, glory to God tonight, over his love tonight. You'll choose to go to a place called hell. But he said this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Tonight, you know what? Tonight for us, it's very easy for this life or for this flesh. Well, glory to God. The Bible says to beware of the sin that so easily besets us. It is so easy for us. All those things, when they come apart us or they come upon us tonight. Well, glory to God. When we get into tribulation, stressful situations, we're persecuted. There ain't many people today in this land right now that are really persecuted for their faith. It's coming. I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe there'll be a time they're going to take, they're going to want to take this away from us. And you stand there on the word of God, and they're going to want to lock you up and throw away the key. They're not going to want you to say anything to anybody. But glory to God tonight, or right now, not a lot of persecution or famine or nakedness or peril. Any of these things, they come along, they come across us. And you know what the first thing we'll do? We'll get all downhearted. We'll get all sad. We'll get all upset. We'll get all depressed. Well, glory to God tonight. The first thing we'll say, well, I wonder if God really loves me. Boy, if he loved me, he wouldn't let all this happen in my life. Well, glory to God tonight. You got to understand tonight that God loves you tonight. He loves you. You're saved in one of his. He loves everything about you. Sometimes we'll get out of his will and do things we shouldn't do. But glory to God, just like a father loves his son, God loves you tonight. And he says, well, glory to God. He says, for I am persuaded. Paul's talking about his persuasion, how persuaded he is. And the Lord gave me just some places to talk about people and how persuaded they really were. Well, glory to God tonight. The first thing God put on our mind for this was Paul in the book of Acts. He talks about, he doesn't talk about him being persuaded, but what he goes through, talks specifically about how persuaded he was in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Then we'll go to the 20th verse, we'll start reading there. They were talking about, this is where they were out and they ran into Lydia, and she had a familiar spirit, and she brought much gain unto her masters. Well, glory to God. And it said they lost hope of all that gain. It said, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. Well, here's the first thought tonight. Are you persuaded enough tonight to teach somebody about Jesus Christ tonight? You know, all the time, we'll get all backwards. And people say, well, I just don't know how to talk to somebody. I just don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to open up to them. I don't know how to reveal to them who Christ is. You go through the text. Well, glory to God. A lot of times, Paul, he just gave his testimony. Yeah. Oh, he did. He just told them about that old Damascus road, how he was down on the way there, how God showed up. Well, glory to God. Right there on the scene, men said there was a bright light. Well, glory to God. He loved to tell about it. Yeah, there's a bright light. I showed around all about it. He said, but I heard a voice. Well, glory to God tonight. I tell you what, you ought to be able to at least tell somebody about your testimony. If you don't have anything else, you don't have anything else to say, you ought to be able to say, well, this is what God did in my life. Boy, I can tell you lots of things about what God's done in my life. But we're getting off the point. And it said the multitude rose up. It said it came together and they got him. Well, glory to God. We're going to go down. And it says, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Paul, he was in a helpless, in a hopeless situation. He was in the inner part of the prison. It was the darkest part of the prison. There wasn't walls and lights. There was just a few torches around. It was dark. It was desperate. They were going to take his life. There was nothing he could do to get out of it. He's sitting there. There's no doubt. There's no way out. Everybody's locked up. Everybody's there. They deserve to be there. Boy, I tell you what, it's a bad situation. Nothing going good. But you know what? You know how persuaded Paul was and Silas? It says at midnight, they praise God. The same songs, amen. Boy, I'm here to tell you tonight, you've got to be persuaded of who he is. Paul and Silas, they were persuaded that God was who he said he was. They were persuaded that God loved them. They didn't have any question about what God was going to do. And you know what? It didn't matter. I started thinking, well, glory to God, about the three Hebrew children. They were cast in the fire. But before that, they were standing there before Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, well, we're going to play play all this music, and you're going to bow down tonight. And they said, well, we're not going to bow down. And he started to get mad. They started to get all the fire. And he said, well, the Hebrew children, they said, well, whether our God will answer or not, we know not, but we'll not bow down to you. Well, I tell you what, it didn't matter to them whether they ended up in the flame like they did, or whether they didn't end up in the flame. All they knew, glory to God, tonight was that God loved them, and that he was going to provide a way for them tonight.
Amen.
The other place that God took us to, glory to God, was Peter. Well, glory to God tonight. Then in Peter, in the book of John, this is where there he's talking to his disciples. Where Christ is talking to the disciples. And all these disciples are gathered around tonight. They were gathered around him. And he began to tell them, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And he's going to tell them, as a living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Well, glory to God. There's a message right there. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. But glory to God. He says these things said in the synagogue when he taught in Capernaum, and many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And said, Jesus knew that they murmured. And he said, does this offend you? Glory to God. Are you offended by Christ today? Let's just stop right there. Are you offended by what he tells you to do? Are you offended? And I've told this story before. Glory to God. And we went to a restaurant over in Pittsburgh one time. And we was over there for dinner. And I was leaning down and praying. And this guy at the other end of the table, he began to say, what's wrong with you, Josh? What's going on? Hey, what's wrong? What's happening? What's for you? Something wrong with you? And one of the other people said, Mike, will you shut up? He's praying. He goes, oh, I've never seen anybody do that before. A grown man, are you ashamed? Are you offended? None of the things Christ tells you to do. He tells you to give thanks for your food. He tells you to be thankful for what he's done to you. He tells you to live a righteous life. Well, glory to God, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You can't go around living like the world and doing the things of the world. Right. And glory to God, and stand apart from a lost and dying world. If you say I'm saved, would you find yourself right in the same pink slot as the rest of the world? How are they going to differentiate who you are? But if you're that rock, if you're that shining light standing on the hill doing what Christ said, glory to God tonight, well, you know what? They may be offended by what you're doing, but you should never be offended by the words of Christ tonight.
Amen.
And he says, are you offended? Does this offend you? And he said, what? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before in the Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit profiteth nothing, or the flesh profiteth nothing. Or the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. But there be some of you that believe not. And he said, it went down. And he said, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know what? They weren't persuaded that God, that Christ was who he was. They were staying around. They were just hanging around for the fishes and the loaves. They were hanging around to see the blind people get their sight back. They were hanging around to see the dumb speak and the deaf hear and the lame walk. They were around all that stuff. When we come down, well, glory to God, the servant God tonight, they weren't persuaded that he was who he said he was. And they all went away. And went, glory to God tonight, but Christ turned around and he looked at the 12 and he said, will you go away also? Well, glory to God. That's where the rubber hits the road, brother James. That's right there. You can sit in the church all night and glory to God and hear the message every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You can sit there and listen to the message over and over and over again. But if you're offended at the word of God and you go out of here or lost and undone, well, glory to God, will you go away also? So that's what happens to a lot of people. They hear that gospel. They hear and they hear and they hear it. Well, they continue to go out the door. But Peter, he was convinced. He was persuaded.
Yeah.
Amen. He was persuaded that Christ was the Christ.
Wow.
Jesus was the Christ. And he said, Lord, where shall we go? Where I have the words of eternal life tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. He came and died. He give you eternal life. And I'm here to tell you, he'll give it to you if you'll just submit and be persuaded of who he is tonight.
Amen.
He was persuaded. Right there, Peter was persuaded. But you know what happens sometimes? Well, glory to God. Sometimes along our walk, we're persuaded. You know, a lot of times, you see this a lot. I've seen it a lot. Maybe you haven't. Well, glory to God tonight. Maybe you've not seen it as much as I have. But I've seen a lot of people. They seem persuaded in the beginning. But over time, they lose some of their persuasion, if you will. We'll say, they're almost persuaded. Glory to God. Man, I started thinking about Peter. This Lord gave us this too. Next, he said, well, yeah, Peter, he was persuaded. He had the words of eternal life. There was nowhere else to go. But old Peter wasn't always so persuaded about things. Glory to God. And the Lord laid on our heart about there in Matthew 14, where he starts talking about Christ sent him out on the ocean. He sent him out on the sea, we should say. And then he sent him out there. And when they got there, they were sitting there wondering what was going on. And it said, and they looked out and they seen Christ come walking on the water. And at first, they thought it'd be a spirit and they weren't sure what it was. And they glory to God and said there was a spirit. And they began to fear. And Christ said, well, fear not, it is I. Well, glory to God. And old Peter, you know, old Peter, he gets a lot of slack for a lot of things. But Peter said, well, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. Oh, he said, come. Well, glory to God tonight. Aren't you glad Christ says, come? You know, he said, come. June 23rd, 2002, he said, come to me. I was standing back in the pew, holding on to the top as tight as I could, just knowing, glory to God, I wasn't going to move under no circumstance. I wasn't going to move. But he said, come. Well, glory to God tonight. He told old Peter, just like Peter, I took that first step. That's all you got to do tonight. You got to show you have some desire to serve God and to come to him. But I took that first step. But old Peter did too. And he said he stepped out on the water. And he began to take a few steps. And things were going pretty good. But you know what? He got a few steps in. And then he started to sink. Why is it? Because he went from being persuaded to being almost persuaded. His persuasion got a little weak. And yeah, he knew it was Christ. He believed it. He wouldn't have got out of the boat if he didn't believe that it was Christ on the water. And no doubt, he got on top of the water. You know, you think that'd give you a little bit of a boost, give you a little bit of boost in your persuasion, a little bit of a boost in your hope and in your faith. Hey, I'm walking on the water. Things must be going pretty good. And here I am. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I'm walking on the water. You know, just like when he blesses you in your life, and you see a situation that looks hopeless and looks helpless, like you've got nowhere to turn and there's nothing you can do, and then all of a sudden it all goes away. Well, glory, what are we talking about? Sister Sharon is right on her liver, and glory to God, I believe tonight, I'm persuaded that God's able to reach down and touch her and to be gone. But why is it? And not because he's done it for me, but because I've seen it done time and time and time again. When they go to the doctor, they say, well, you had a spot on your lungs, but we can't find it anymore. Well, glory to God tonight. God, he's able to do these things. But you know what? As soon as something goes wrong, we'll start to doubt a little bit. We'll get doubt in our life and fear. And we'll say, well, glory to God. We sank in Sunday night about the preacher, the priest Sunday night, a pastor being the vessel, about those anchors, about those fear, and that doubt, and that, well, those things that tie you down. But that's what it'll do. It'll tie you down. Old Peter, he was good for the first little bit, but he took his eyes off the Lord. I'm here to tell you tonight, by the power of God, if you take your eyes off the Lord tonight, you will lose your persuasion tonight. You will struggle with everything that you do. Every time you try to serve him, everything that comes your way, every problem that you run into, boy, it'll be a mountain out of a molehill. You know, for God, they're all little molehills. They're all just little things for God. There's nothing that'll take us in this life. There's nothing that will come against us in this life. That is the big thing for God tonight. And if we're persuaded that God is
able to take care of these things for us. Well, glory to God tonight. He'll take care of them. He is able to do it. In our life as Christians, in our Christian walk, it'll be much better if we'll just allow our persuasion, well, glory to God, our persuasion to grow tonight.
Amen.
The next thing God laid on our heart was about being almost persuaded. It's not of the Christian who is persuaded, but the Lord laid on our heart. Most of these are familiar with you guys. For most of you, I believe tonight, most of them is familiar. We don't pretend. You know, the Lord laid this on our heart just now, so we're just going to give it to you the way He gave it to us. We don't pretend to preach some new thing tonight. Glory to God. There's nothing new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. That's what Ecclesiastes said. It's all the same thing. It's Christ. It's about Christ. Oh, glory to God. It's even back there pointing towards Christ, or it's up here pointing back to Christ. It doesn't matter. When it all lays out, when it's all said and done, when it all gets to the end, it's all about Christ tonight. Glory to God. And this is where Paul, he had asked to go see Caesar. And glory to God. And then he came up and came to one named Agrippa. Glory to God. And I started thinking about this 26th chapter in the book of Acts. And he said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Glory to God. I want to remind you tonight, what you know is not going to get you to heaven tonight. You may have been to every Sunday school class. You may have been to every service. You may have read your Bible. Well, glory to God. I had a cousin one time. He used to do all kinds of stuff. I wouldn't go to church. But he decided one time he was going to read the Bible. He said, I'm going to read it. Well, glory to God. And so everybody kind of, you know, just nudged him a little bit. Yeah, you're going to read it. Yeah. He goes, I want to read the whole thing. And he read it. And he started from the beginning. And he read all the way through Revelation. And he got done. And he said, oh, Lord, I'm never going to sin again. I'm not going to do it. It's a terrible thing. Boy, the things the Bible says about hell, how terrible it is. I don't want to go. I don't want to be there. I don't want to partake of it. I'm never sinning again. Well, glory to God. And he memorized a lot of that stuff. And he knew a lot about it. But it wasn't about 3 weeks. He was back out doing the things that he was doing before. Why is it? The Bible says the word is spiritually discerned. Glory to God. And it's got to come by the preaching and the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And you can read it, but if you don't do it, asking God to reveal it to you, it's nothing but a book. It's words on paper. Yeah, you can read it and get scared. When I was little, sometimes somebody read me a scary good night story, a babysitter, whatever, and you get scared about it. But glory to God. But here tonight, I'm here to tell you, the Spirit of God has got to work. But he knew that Agrippa, he knew all the stuff. He knew all about their customs. He knew all about their laws. He knew all about those things. And so Paul began to explain to him who Christ was, giving him all the things from the Old Testament and what their customs were that lined up to who Christ was. Well, glory to God. But it's got down there. And once he got through it, he said, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning and doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a quarter. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Well, glory to God. Paul was so persuaded in the words and in the life and in the things that Jesus Christ did. He was so persuaded by it. He was willing to tell Agrippa about it. He was willing to tell him all about it. Not only that, he was persuaded that Agrippa knew all the things of the prophets. Paul had a lot of persuasion. Glory to God. But Agrippa, he answered this. He said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Boy, you know what? I want to tell you this. To almost be saved is to be lost and go into a devil's hell tonight. There's no almost saved. There's no kind of there. You know, they talk about, okay, let's talk about purgatory. You know, there's a lot of people today, they believe, well, boy, I'm almost a Christian. Well, you say, what's that mean? Well, I do good stuff. I'm a good person. I do all kinds of nice stuff for all kinds of people. I'm almost a Christian. I'm good. I give lots of money to charities. I give a lot of money to the church tonight. Boy, I'm almost a Christian. Boy, I love to sing those gospel songs. And I love Sunday school. I love listening to the preacher. I'm almost a Christian. My name's on the church book. I'm almost a Christian. I'm here to tell you tonight, almost a Christian isn't going to get it for you. Agrippa, he was almost persuaded. There's nothing here that says he ever was persuaded. The only thing he ever did, he said he would call for Paul, hoping that Paul would give him some money that he might let him go. Glory to God. But he was never fully persuaded. He listened to everything. He knew the laws. He knew the customs. He knew the prophets were true. He knew all those things. But still yet, he died and raised up his eyes in hell, being almost persuaded tonight. Are you here tonight and almost persuaded? James says this, and glory to God. James says in the first 1 and 8, the prayer pastor read it on Sunday, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible says this, you cannot have two masters, for you'll love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. Glory to God. You can't have two. You can't be double-minded. You can't go one way, not the other. I started thinking about this process of being almost persuaded tonight. Well, glory to God. And you know, we hear all these statistics all the time. They say, well, the country, the United States of America, you hear a lot of different numbers. 70% Christian, 80% Christian, somewhere around there. They talk about that all the time. And I go, glory to God, and I think about it, and I think, how is that even possible that would be that way? That people would say they're Christians, and then know all these things that are going on in this world, that are going on in this country, all these things that go on, for the love of God, I'm not here to tell you tonight. They're right now. We talked to those, came up Sunday, but I've been listening to it all week, and it baffles my mind. They're trying to fight this thing where you got to go to the restroom in the bathroom that you were born as, and then even having a separate bathroom just for somebody who's confused about what they are, having their own bathroom for them is not good enough. They're digging into and trying to make a point. And I started thinking about, now is this. And I was listening to the radio the other day, and a preacher was on there, and he said they did a study, and they went out and they surveyed all Christians, everybody that said they were a Christian, and they surveyed every one of them, and they asked them this question. Well, glory to God, what do you think? Do you wholly believe the morality and the theology of Jesus Christ? You believe in the morality he teaches? You believe in everything he taught, and who he was, and that he was who he said he was, and that he was born of a virgin woman? Glory to God. And he came and he lived a perfect life. He was a lamb without spot, without blemish, and he died upon the cross. You believe that tonight? You believe it? That was the question. And the survey came back and said only 32% of all the Christians that were surveyed said they believed in the morality and the theology of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, if you're part of that other, glory to God, tonight, other 68% that don't believe in the morality and the theology of who Jesus Christ is, you're only almost persuaded tonight, and you're not getting in. You're not going. You've got to believe he is who he said he is. You've got to believe in him wholly. You can't say, well, I kind of believe. I was telling this story too. Years ago, God, he had a pastor, and he said he'd come into this pastor all the time, and they sat down, and he'd want to argue about the scriptures, and he'd say, well, what about this? He'd ask him questions about about the sin in his life. You understand, he was under quays asking questions, trying to justify the sin in his life. And he said they would go and they would sit down at his table, at his desk in the pastor's office. And they would begin to talk about it. And it said as they would talk about it, they would go. And he said, well, what about this? And the guy said, well, I don't believe that part of it. And he said, well, what about this? He goes, well, I don't really believe that either. And the pastor opened his desk drawer. And he pulled out a little thing of white out. And he started whiting out his Bible. And the guy goes, wait a minute. Well, what are you doing? He goes, well, if you don't believe it, it might as well not be there tonight. Boy, I'm here to tell you tonight, if it's within the lids of this Bible, from front to back, 1611, a King James Bible, I'm here to tell you tonight, if it's in there, it's the truth. You can take it to the bank, you can count on it, you can live on it, and you'll be persuaded by it tonight. It is the truth of the Word of God tonight.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's some, though, that are persuaded there is no God. You know, I used to think about this. And there was a guy, his name was Jerry Vaughn. And glory to God, he would go and he would evangelize. He would talk to all these people. He talked to them all the time. He was always constantly evangelizing to the lost people. Anybody walk up to on the street, and glory to God, he walked up to a man one time. And I'll tell you this. And he said he walked up to him and he began to witness to him about Christ. And he said, I don't believe in Christ. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, I don't believe in him. He goes, oh, son, I'm telling you, he's true. He lives. He exists. He's real today. And he lives inside of me. And he can live inside of you. He goes, I'm an atheist. I don't believe at all. I don't believe it even in the slightest. A little bit. I don't believe in God. He goes, I'll tell you what. How about we just have prayer right before I leave? I'll leave you alone if you'll just have prayer with me. The guy goes, well, that's okay. You can have all the prayer you want. He goes, I'll just stand here while you pray. And then old Jerry Vaughn, he bowed his head. And he bowed his head down. And he said, dear kind and precious Heavenly Father, he goes, I want you to show this man that your will. He said, I don't care if you've got to maim him. I don't care if you've got to make him sick. Take his wife. Take his life. Take his family. Destroy his home. He goes, wait a minute. What in the world are you doing? Why in the world would you pray like that? He goes, if God doesn't exist, why does it matter? Well, glory to God tonight. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says this in Psalm 14:1. It said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's foolish people in this world. Glory to God tonight. There's a lot of them. I used to think there wasn't that many. But boy, I'll tell you what, as time goes on, there's more and more foolish people in this world. Always looking for something. Always looking for a sign. Always looking for a way to find out he's real. Oh, glory to God tonight. Let's start thinking about this. Glory to God. Oh, I started thinking about this, Lord, in our heart. What's it going to take to persuade somebody tonight? And, you know, I started thinking about people looking for stuff. You know, some, they want to see, they say, well, if we'd have seen Christ raised from the dead, Lord to God, we'd have believed. I started thinking about Lazarus, Lord to God, tonight. And it said he went, and he had begged at the master, or the rich man's gate. And it said he was there, and he begged for crumbs off of his table. Well, Lord to God, tonight, that's all that he wanted was just crumbs off his table. But it said that Lazarus died and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. And it said the rich man died and didn't lift up his eyes in hell tonight. Well, glory to God. And it said in that part there, it talks about the rich man down in hell asking for Lazarus. You all know the story, most of you. And they said, well, I asked for him to come over with a drop of water. Well, glory to God. And he said, no, can't do it. There's a great gulf of fix between you and I. And where you are, you can't come here. And where we are, we can't come to you. And he goes, well, I've got five brothers in my father's house. We gotta send Lazarus back so that he can tell them not to come to this awful place. But Abraham said this, though one were raised from the dead, they would not believe. I'm here to tell you tonight, one is raised from the dead tonight. His name is Jesus Christ. And glory to God, he come up out of the grave. But even though he's come up, they still won't believe tonight.
Amen.
People say, well, maybe we could just, if I'd have, you know, hear this all the time. Well, if I'd have walked with him, boy, if I'd have been right there with him. Boy, I tell you what, if I could have just walked by his side, if I could have just come up to him and said, oh, holy, hold his hand. Oh, there he is. I've seen the miracles. Well, glory to God. The disciples, they had gathered in the upper room. Thomas not being with them. And the Lord showed up. And he was there. And he found to him all kinds of things. And then Thomas came back. And he said, well, the Lord was here. He was right here. Glory to God. He stood right here in the midst. He was right in the middle of this room, Thomas. He's alive. He still lives tonight. And Thomas goes, no. Oh, no, no. I'm not believing. Not going to do it. And I take my finger and stick it in the nail prints of his hand and take my hand and thrust it in his side. Glory to God. Then I'll believe it. Boy, that's how the world is today. Boy, if I could have just done that, if I could have just been there, I would have been right there. I don't believe. No, Thomas, being with the 12, and Christ showed back up again. And he said, oh, Thomas, come here and stick your finger in the prints of my hand and stick your hand and thrust it in my side. And he said, he fell down. And he said, well, the Lord said this. He said, Thomas, because you have seen, thou believest. But blessed be those who have not seen and yet still believe tonight. Boy, I'm here to tell you tonight, you want to be blessed, believe in Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
So tonight the thought is, don't come get a song. That's enough. Like I said, that's enough. So the thought tonight is, how persuaded are you tonight? Are you persuaded enough to be like Paul, that when trials and troubles and tribulations come your way, that you're willing to sing songs at midnight? Boy, I've often thought I'd be here. I'd be strong enough to do that. But you know, those days, Brother James, I'm not persuaded enough to do that. It's everything I can do to get up out of bed and just praise God for getting up out of bed sometimes. The things that are going on. Are you persuaded enough to be like Paul? To be able to stand there in the face of tragedy, in the face of destruction, in the face of all these things, and be persuaded that God is able, and that Christ is able, and that they're able to do these things? Are you like Peter? Are you willing to say, boy, I don't know anything else. Brother Ed, I don't know anything else. All I know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No, I tell you what, Peter said, Lord, I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to do. Boy, I find myself there a lot of times, Brother Eddie, and that's all I can say. I just sit back and just look at the circumstances, situations, whether it be work or whatever it would be. I just find myself sitting back and going, Lord, where else would I go? Boy, I tell you what, I can tell my co-workers about it. I can tell my daddy about it. I can tell my wife about it. I can tell my brother about it, but I'm telling you what, they don't have the kind of peace and kind of peace about them that Christ gives me when I go to my Lord about it and just say, God, I don't know what else I would do except for save, come and tell you about the things in my life. Are you that persuaded tonight? Are you persuaded enough to stand in oppression and to stand in persecution? The thought came up on Sunday. Would you stand? If it come down to where they were killing Christians in the street, would you stand there with your Bible and say, hey, I'm a Christian? Yeah, I know you're going to cut my head. Are you persuaded enough that God is able to deliver you from that situation? That if somebody came and said, hey, we could go back to the old pre-message I heard preached a lot of times, there's enough evidence to even convict you of being a Christian. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a whole message in itself. But if you were convicted, would you be willing to stand and say, yep, I'm one of them. Boy, I'm one of those whosos. And glory to God, I'm one of those that are serving God tonight. Are you persuaded enough to do that? Or are you only persuaded enough maybe to come to church but not really give your life to Christ tonight? Maybe you're just persuaded enough to listen to your mom and dad talk about it, or listen to your kids talk about it. Maybe you're just persuaded enough to show up to Sunday school and not come to church. Maybe you're just persuaded enough to do some of those things but not truly give your life to Christ tonight. Maybe you're persuaded tonight there is no God. I've got good news tonight. There's one solution for all those problems.
Yeah.
And that is Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
He's the only solution that you've got tonight. If you got lack in faith, maybe you lack in faith. I think we all come weak in faith. I come weak in faith. You know, praise God for you. I don't know. But I come weak in faith sometimes. But God's got an answer for every problem that you've got. I don't have them. You can come and ask me. I can give you my best advice. You can ask anybody who knows me. I love to talk. I can tell you lots of things. But I'm not going to have the answer for every problem you got.